Good morning. Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I am Joanne Haig and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is Mr. Dennis Johnson. The number to call 434-1790. And if you want to send us a WhatsApp message, 266-4862. Now, what's on my mind this morning? It's back to school, and I'm concerned about if parents can afford the cost of uniforms to get back into schools, in particular those who sat the 11 plus and will need a new uniform, as well as persons right now who are wondering if they're going to be evicted from their homes due to the fact that they've lost their job and they are not able to afford rent. Recently, we have been hearing from Kimar Safri, who indicated that people are actually trying to book the homeless society building so that they can seek some sort of shelter. And it leaves you to wonder what's going on with landlords and the tenants and if they can't work something out. Now, there are two sides to the story. The landlord may indicate that that is his only source of income, hence the reason why he can't give the families an ease. And of course, then the families are saying, well, they're not working, so they're not able to pay the rent. So that comes together and it clashes, and it could result then in a possible eviction. So what do we do? How do we balance that? Where do we go? Where would a family go to get help, or even the landlord who has commitments? Is it a case that he has a bank loan and he can go in and explain to the bank that the family he rented to may be experiencing some challenges? Everything has a domino effect. So during this pandemic, it just can't be one person aiding you out, like say Light and Power, for example, and said, okay, I'll give you 2 months ease, but then the other utilities don't, and then your landlord does not. In a pandemic, which by the way, we're still in a pandemic, we still have to work out how we can still help each other and piggyback on each other to see how best we can navigate through this difficult period. What is more painful is to know that families have very small children and they're being evicted, as well as recently there was a story in another newspaper, Barbados Today, that highlighted a young woman who was running from being abused by the father of her 8 children. And she was making an appeal for some shelter. Now, of course, she also went on to say what the public said and judged her for having 8 children and so on and so forth. But she too now is looking for shelter, but for a different reason. All of these things are coming out of the COVID pandemic, a lot of abuse and evictions based on the fact that you can't afford to pay rent, which now leads me to back to what I said in the beginning about uniforms and getting back to school. How are parents coping with being able to purchase uniforms, having to give children lunch money because the school meals, I believe, only facilitates the primary schools and not the secondary schools? And of course, there's some other challenges to getting back there for the parents, even though I'm sure they're very glad that the kids are going back and the children are excited to see the other children. There are going to be some challenges over the next couple of days. I know some parents, for example, today being the 9th day of September, they haven't even begin to shop for school uniforms. They're still waiting on some NIS payments, and that's another situation going on and on and on about the delay in the payment of funds from the NIS department. So let's see what your feedback, let's hear from you what your feedback would be pertaining to those issues and any other issue you want to discuss with us today on Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I would have liked to have spoken about something else, but just in response to the things that you were speaking of, if you have to respond to a pandemic, one of your policies should include the fact that Barbados is a very unhealthy community. Well, 6 out of 10 people got hypertension problems. 6 out of 10 people got problems with high blood pressure. You know, the argument for wearing masks and social distancing and all that for a disease, not disease, a sickness that would only cause, what, less than 0.5% in death, the argument is that you will overrun, you know, the facilities, you know, the hospital and stuff. That's the only argument. So the only reason, no, to fix this, the only way to fix this is to make sure you got a community that can actually withstand another shock like this. In 2000, we had a problem that affected hotels and airlines and international business, all that kind of foolishness. And we did nothing to fix that. You know, we just went with the flow. It happened again in 2008. All of a sudden, we got to deal with hotels and airlines and international business. Did nothing about that. On 2019, 2020, 2020, we got a similar problem. Airlines and stuff. So we got to respond different. I see the Prime Minister all about the place. I mean, I have never seen a Prime Minister so vocal, so obviously obvious than this one. I like what she's doing, but I think she could do a hell of a lot more because she can sell things. That's a good thing. But unfortunately, it's not enough. They invited people here to come and live. But that's about 1,000 people. Our hotel industry was about 500,000 staying. Another 500,000 on cruise ships. That's 1,000,000 people every year passing through Barbados. And you can fix that, but still. We're going to fix this. The service should have fixed it 20 years ago. Correctly. And this time around, make sure you include the policy of a healthy population. Even if you got to put it in legislation. That people must run only building once in the morning or whatever is required. We got to fix 6 in every 10 people with hypertension. And it gets worse because once you're under pressure, and a lot of us are under pressure, like me, and most of us can't vent, because they say, us, we know, because I've been talking to Dennis for so long now, I getting caught up in this foolishness. Huh? We got vent. It's going to get worse. We got sweet drinks selling on the market with sugar content that gone past 60%. And there's no law to say, well, Mr. Buster, you are a doctor, and you sell sweet drinks all about the Caribbean. We have to legislate now. If you're going to sell drinks to Barbados, the sugar content has to be below a certain amount. We can't even do that there. Not we. No, sorry. No. Water. We. Hey, but this we thing. What's wrong with me? Water can't even do this here. But, you know, that's only a follow-on to what you're saying. I just like to explain what happened yesterday. Yesterday, the point was raised about the ability for Prime Minister to call the end to Parliament. That is exceptional power. That is saying to every single parliamentarian that went through the process of being voted for that he could only get one day in the House or 5 weeks. He has to wait for this person to determine whether or not he will continue doing the job that he's voted on to perform in. A prime minister could call the shot. She can shut everything down tomorrow. Given half a chance to do so, and that's extraordinary power. What I was asking for, was for that power to really be removed. And then we could have proper discourse. Nobody would be afraid of a prime minister anymore. They would get up and talk the way they're supposed to talk and challenge the way they're supposed to challenge. But if you got this knowledge that she can pull your stumps out the next day, well, you can say something. Democracy, as you call it, will mean nothing. Once a prime minister has that kind of a power.
Let me ask you a question. Do you really think that democracy applies or should apply to everything that we do? Because if that's the case, then who makes the final decision, even if you have people weighing in on what should and shouldn't happen? At some point, somebody needs to say, well, look, the buck stops with me. I make the final decision.
I ain't got a problem with that. Eh? Let the buck stop where it's supposed to stop. But the kind of power that says that you must determine whether or not I got a job as a parliamentarian tomorrow is not a relevant power. You don't deserve to have that kind of a power. I was voted for. I demand that I should have 5 years to talk my talk and say what I got to say without having to be afraid of the fact that you could pull the stuff from under
but,
me.
But
that's what every parliamentarian should
But listen. Let me ask you a question. When people get into office, they're MPs. They've been voted for as an MP.
You say the same thing as me, so what are you
doing? But they haven't been voted for as a minister, so if they can...
That's a cabinet. It's different. That's different. I'm talking about being in the lower house. You're a parliamentarian. You're supposed to represent me for 5 years.
Right.
5 years. And a prime minister can say, no. That 5 years ain't going to work. You're going to take 3.5 years because I can pull these stumps out from under you. There's not a parliamentarian in the house that will say that I'm saying something stupid today. Not one. But Dennis Johnson is going to find a way to shift the attention from that particular point and say, oh, it's about term limits. The only limits I'm concerned about with prime ministers, the only limits is the age. I think a prime minister should be between 45 and 60. Where they're old enough to be experienced, but yet young enough to be dynamic. If you're older than 60, go along. Don't be prime minister no more. Because you've had...
For those who are asking me exactly, if you are indicating that the prime minister has the power to remove an MP who was voted for...
Listen to me, forget about that. I'm just saying that she has the power to shut Parliament down. And that is wrong. She even has the power to prorogue Parliament, which is also wrong. You're paid for 5 years. 5 years, that's what people vote for. And that 5 years should be consistent. No one should have the ability to... Damn 5 years should be the general election. And no prime minister should be to change that. That's what I'm saying. What is so difficult about that to understand? Good God, man.
Okay, wait, just 1 second. Just so that we don't become 7 out of 10 people with hypertension. Take it easy. Take it easy.
I'll be one of that number in truth, for sure. I mean, I speak clearly. I speak plainly. Officer, I got to explain myself for 3 days in a row. 3 days. Mm-hmm. I must be touching a nerve somewhere. Because there's no parliamentarian, not one, that would disagree with me. Not one, other than the prime minister, of course. They have 5 years to serve. And no prime minister should have the ability to change that.
Fair enough, but you are entitled to your opinion, you know. And everybody, and people are listening, and a lot of people actually agree with you, too. Some disagree, though, I can tell you that.
I want one parliamentarian to call in and say that our Edward's talking foolishness. One!
Well, we have identified ourselves. Wow.
No, because somebody wanted to think that, you know, I'm not afraid. Come on. Mm-hmm. All right, I will take the name. Oh, forget the name. Mm-hmm. My name is, Busy Williams. Whatever. One parliamentarian has to call in and say that he disagrees that prime minister should have the power, that he agrees that prime minister should have the power to pull up the stumps whenever they want. One parliamentarian got to come and say that. And you got to tell him, my man, you lying big time. People vote for parliament, and that parliament should last for 5 years. 5 years, to the day, to the minute. And then whatever happens after that. If the prime minister thinks she needs another mandate, or he has to do step down and let a prime minister and let another person come forward because they got a couple of years left. If they cannot accomplish what it is that they want to accomplish, step back and let somebody from within the party take over for the remaining thing. It's, you know, in England it happens, because England believes in this honourable thing and so on and so on. But they still have the power to call the elections whenever they want. But we got to believe, once England makes a rule or some kind of law, Barbados got to follow it, you know, in detail. Maybe Barbados could decide for a change that they can fix the rule, fix this thing, because it's wrong, and go forward. It's simple. It is simple. Fix election date. That's it. And I can tell you parliamentarians and guests speak their mind. They will speak as they're supposed to speak.
Let's see if they weigh in on it, and let's see if they will call.
You understand what I said?
I totally understand. I don't fully agree, but I totally understand. Thank you so much for calling. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Jaya.
Good morning.
There are two issues I would like to raise this morning. When the liquidation center was being demolished, the prime minister was on the site. And she said that as soon as the liquidation center was finished being demolished, that at least 250 persons would be on the Hyatt site constructing the hotel. Now, the liquidation center has been demolished, and the only thing I see happening at the Hyatt is that they are putting a fence around the place. Can you shed any light on that? Or the developers shed any light on that?
You have to ask the developers. But I'm going to respond to what you said, that the only thing you're saying is they're putting a fence around. Is that present or past tense? Is that what they're currently doing?
They're currently putting a fence around there. All they have to do
right.
is put on
So, sir, let's break this down, break it down for me a little bit and talk to me like I'm 2 years old. If the prime minister said that after the demolition, there will be approximately 250...
Right.
Did she say 2 days after the demolition? Did she say 5 days after demolition?
Pardon me?
Did she stipulate a time after the demolition?
She said soon after.
Okay, well, that's relative, sir. So soon for her or the developers or even yourself, I mean, I don't know how long ago it was demolished. If it came down after COVID, the lockdown, with the reopening, I believe,
that they continued work. No, you started it, right?
So I'm just trying to tell you, if some person indicated, just give me a second to at least, sir, sir,
you were involved in the park.
Sir, you need to listen for 1 second, okay? I will respond, and then we can move on to your next point.
Okay.
A fence is going up. It means work is still in progress regarding securing a site. Wait and see then. If you wish to go and count if it's 250, 251, or 200, up to you. Just wait and see what happens after that. What is your next point now?
There are three other points they have to me, okay? Well, the one you were involved in, the park, you said that...
I don't know of anything that I was involved in. So you want to speak to a particular company? Would you like to refer to a particular company?
You were the PR.
Would you like to refer to a particular company?
Your company, then.
My company? Sir, I'm not aware that I own anything, but go ahead.
Your communications company.
Again, I'm not aware that I own anything. Go ahead.
Okay, well... You had something to do.
Make your point. Make your point.
You said that work would begin on the park within a few weeks' time. Nothing is happening at the park. Do you have any information about that?
I believe information will be shared with this radio station and all the other radio stations in due course.
All right. There's the Empire Theater.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you have anything about that?
No idea, sir. And again, if information comes to light about that, I believe that too will be shared.
Oh, okay.
But I'm hoping that those who may know may respond to you in a timely fashion, hopefully before 2 o'clock.
All right. The final thing is so physical distancing is part of the COVID protocols. Not so?
Yes.
Right. Now, can you explain to me why physical distancing is necessary for every other thing with the exception of transportation? Mm-hmm. You are not practicing physical distancing in transportation.
What do you think is, why is that in your opinion?
You're asking me why it's...
Yeah, you asked me and I'm asking you. If you're saying six feet or 3 feet is part of the protocols to do...
Persons are insisting on physical distancing in every other thing. But I don't see anybody going...
But did they not say that that is in place when it's practical to do, when it's doable, when you can get it accomplished? Did you not read in between the lines? So for... I understand what you're saying. When you can practice the physical distancing, you are to do so. In circumstances where you can't, you're then asked to please keep your mask on. Make sure your hands are sanitized and until the journey is completed. Then maybe when you get out the bus, I'm sure you want to remove your mask if you're away from people. And if you do so, then you need to be at least 6 feet apart.
So can the virus be transmitted through perspiration?
I'm not a doctor, sir. I won't be able to answer that.
As far as I know,
it's respiratory related. And that's basically what it is.
If you have a public service vehicle packed with persons and they're perspiring, well, it's possible that somebody could transmit the virus in there. Your hands are not sanitized when you get in the vehicle. The only thing you do is wear the mask.
What do you propose?
Well, if physical distancing is part of the protocol that we observe it on public service vehicles...
Do you take public service vehicles by any chance?
Pardon me?
Do you take a bus by any chance?
I take a bus. Mm-hmm. That's the only form of transportation I have.
Mm-hmm. And you're uncomfortable then with people being seated next to you in this COVID environment?
I'm not uncomfortable with people being seated.
No, in the COVID environment when you're taking a bus, does it make you uncomfortable?
It doesn't make me uncomfortable. I wear my mask at all times.
So if you don't have an issue with it, then you raised it.
But I'm saying it's part of the COVID protocol. So why we are observing it in other areas and we're not observing it in transportation?
When you can do so, then you must do so. But there are some situations that it can't be helped. and where it can't be helped, you must then keep your mask on, as you just indicated that you do that. So I'm not quite sure I follow where you may have an issue if you are okay with taking the bus, sitting next to people wants to wear the mask. It's impossible. I mean, you can do it. They did it where they had 50% seating. But in order for people to get back and forth in a timely fashion, we can't continue to do that. And then, of course, you have to look at the drivers being able to make a little bit of money, too. If everybody would do what they're supposed to do, in particular those who take public transport and the drivers, I believe it minimizes the chances of sharing this virus in a rapid way.
Okay? All right, finally now, Joanne.
Yes.
Friday, we had disclosure about the purchase of the buses. Now, the purchase of the sanitation trucks, there's still some confusion about that there, whether the procurement rules were followed or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling, the same way we had full disclosure about the buses, I'm calling for the Minister of the Environment to come and make a full disclosure about the purchase of the sanitation trucks. Thank you.
Wait, sir?
Father?
Yes. So you want him to make disclosure regarding if the procurement rules were followed?
Rules were followed.
Right.
And there's some confusion about that.
One last question I have for you. Are you getting your garbage picked up by any chance in a timely fashion, or are you having issues?
I am getting my garbage picked up.
Very good. All right. But at least there's a positive coming out of this conversation.
Pardon me. The same issue was being made about the buses. People are saying that they don't want to know anything about the buses because they have transportation now and so on.
No, I'm not saying you have valid points. You're a taxpayer.
The persons raised the issue. They finally came.
Mm-hmm.
And made a disclosure about the buses.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you.
I'm asking that a disclosure be made about the trucks.
Understood, and I believe you have been heard, and I want to thank you for your contribution, and I'm glad to hear that you're getting your garbage picked up in a timely fashion. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm okay. The thing is a water meter next door me. And from the 27th of July, is calling Water Authority about it. They're dropping first. And now it running from the front and to the back. And the water running down in front me. And all I know, Water Authority has 7 calls for it. And all I know, them ain't come and do it yet.
Where is it located? Are you care
in
to see?
In Farris Road, Lake St. Andrew.
In what road?
Farris.
Farris Road?
F-A-R-R-E-L-L.
Lake St. Andrew?
Lake St. Andrew. And all I know, you know 7 calls that Water Authority had for that. And all I know, them ain't come and do it yet.
All right. Would you like to
and
leave
a... harbor a mosquito. Next thing I'm going to do is call the inspector.
All right. What I'm going to ask you to do, if you can leave your number of just... we just messaged the people at the BWA if they could respond at least to you directly. But we'll need a contact number in order to help you with that. And I'm hoping that BWA will assist you. We'll try to do our part getting the information again to them. All right. You could always call us back and let us know if it worked. Normally radio does. So let us know.
Okay.
All right. Have a great day. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hi. Blessed morning.
Blessed morning to you, too.
Yeah. You and all, everyone. You were speaking about a person being displaced.
Yes, being evicted, etc., or threatened with eviction.
I was thinking, I had called about it sometime last week, and something you said about, because it goes right back, a landlord might be willing, but then if he's not getting money and he has a mortgage, the bank, right? So I was wondering, seeing that this thing wasn't bought about by anybody's fault, that kind of way, the COVID. The banks, they can't be a bit lenient. They can find a different way.
I believe that in the beginning, people worked, these institutions actually tried their best to work with several individuals. But now we're months into a COVID environment, and they obviously can't do that forever. So
they may not be able to do it forever, but if every mortgage is $1,000 month, okay, well, if you can
reduce it at least.
Is that nothing?
No, I agree, and because I believe that's what they did before, but what I'm saying is that, which you were obviously saying too, that they may have to renegotiate now what is the way forward so that we can all live.
Because if so many people start losing their homes, those are going to be a lot of empty homes around the place. And then what? Persons will be displaced permanently. And the only people that will be able to buy these homes is maybe people from overseas. So it displaces you in more than one way, mm-hmm. right? And to keep our economy going, we should not allow that to happen. We like to say as human beings, oh, this can't work, that can't work, that can't work. Look, I'm in my 60s, and I've recognized that God has equipped us with such a brain, such a mental state. If we could settle and really use love towards each other, we'll get through anything. We will get through anything, right? So I would like to see, I know the Prime Minister spoke to the persons about that, I think, the mortgage yards and whatever, and if they can find, you know, some ways so that people won't be displaced out there. Okay, one more thing. Mm-hmm. The churches, I am a Christian, and I see it that, you know, in the first church, they were being prosecuted and everything, and the apostles and Their congregants got together and they share their soul. You know the story? Their soul, say, items and different things that they had. Who has something to sell? And they put it all together and they supported each other. So what I'm saying, mothers with children, as Free said, a woman with women with babies, churches. What are we going to do in this situation? They have some lovely churches about here, right? And they're going to close up. We need to come out. The church need to come out and deal with this situation as is. And let the people of God really be the people of God.
Don't you think that maybe the churches do a lot, but be more behind the scenes? Because I'm sure the churches do help.
Yeah, they do a lot behind the scenes. But listen, I'm talking about housing. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you have a big full set of church upstairs and downstairs, basement, all kind of thing. You can't hold at least 6 persons. I know it would sound like a lot, right? But these things are not impossible to do. Because Brother Safri wouldn't have enough room for this kind of thing soon from now, right? To house everyone. So along with providing some food stuff every week for the needy, the Salvation Army can't do everything. People are talking about the Salvation Army. They do a great job, but there are other churches in around the place. In every neighborhood, more almost is a church, right, sister? So let us get together and try to encourage persons to come out and talk about their situation. Go around the community, find what is happening with persons in the community the church is in, and try to help those persons who really need it. All right.
Putting
it out there.
I'm with you on that one. So guess you, as you're right, we do have to, we got to help each other more so now than ever, because I do believe as school starts back and we're heading down to Christmas that, you know, we're going to feel a little bit more of a squeeze in a lot of areas. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark.
I feel that lady is incorrect. Because of churches individually, as you see them across the country, different places, they're of denominations. And if you check clearly, that most of the churches are represented by an umbrella body. For example, the Anglican Church, the Diocesan. Then you've got the all of them, the Pentecostal assemblies, all of them are represented at some form, somewhere in relation to the existence of the church. So what I think she should be calling on is that the assemblies, the overhead umbrella bodies that control these churches, will be making a commitment to government, making a commitment to community, making a commitment in terms of support for society. But ask some of these churches within the various communities to stand by and do the things that she is saying. Some of those churches can't even afford light bill. Some of those churches, you know, in Chumufa, the members do pull the weight to keep the church still open. So I would think that that appeal that she has just made should be an appeal to the bodies that controlling the various organizations, which we know established. You've got several of them across Barbados, the Pentecostal assemblies. You've got the diocesan, and you've got a whole set of other churches that are now under an umbrella body. So I would think that she should correct that and get some more information on that. Where help is necessary and where the church has to put some of it in order to help the community. But I believe the church help, but the church help in a way not recognizable, but the church help. We know that the church has, some of the churches in Barbados have a wealth of finances in terms of real estate, in terms of certain things that are happening. But then again, take for example, most of the lands around churches in Barbados, we know as the Cleveland. I have been trying to find out why, for example, St. George, Cleveland, and if you look around Barbados, wherever there's a church, around that church, the land around that church is known as the Cleve. My particular position on this exercise is that if the church is to be involved, I think that the church should be able to assist government in the form of housing, where many houses are necessary. Help is necessary in terms of certain people are concerned. And the amount of real estate that is owned by some of the churches should be aware of using some of that land for the existence of helping in terms of housing.
Mark, let me just ask a question here. There's so many people right now, not even before COVID, needed help. There's so many organizations. There's so many churches. Then there's government. There are businesses. And I'm still trying to figure out why there's so much, so many people crying out for help. Now, there'll always be a person, you know, that would need some assistance. I still believe that a man was never supposed to die poor, in my opinion. He might come into poverty, maybe born into it, and someone out there hopefully would give him a hand up. And then when he gets that hand up, he in turn reaches back to someone and give them a hand up, so that it just keeps getting a little bit better and better and better. And every time you're hearing, okay, somebody's giving this money, somebody's doing that, but then the same stories and then some of the same people need the same help over and over and over again. Is it that we're doing the wrong thing and doing more the handouts as opposed to giving people a rod, as opposed to keep handing them fish all the time?
I think, Joanne, that part of the problem is the clerical administrative work that has to be done at the level for A person, B person, or C person. A lot of people have been seeking help, and I'm going to just mention this as I go along to finish your question. A lot of people have been seeking the government agency, the National Housing Corporation, for assistance in many ways, whether it be repairs to the house, whether it be housing, or as far as loans are concerned. Now, years and years have passed before some of these people receive any assistance. Now, this could only tie down to one situation. And I openly could say, one, could be a political affairance. Two, could be a situation where the clerical work does not fall in line with the degree of request. And when somebody can tell that they have got an application in for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and somebody come within recent time, before having a problem, before having a fire, before having any situation, and could move into an apartment house, a government house. Just like that, it means that somewhere along the line there's been a neglect, and a forceful neglect to that person who's made that request for so many years. And I think that is one of the problems with it. There's no priority base. Priority should be put in place. Mm-hmm. Some people are too proud to seek assistance. Some people are too proud to follow up on assistance. Some people have been told that there isn't anything when there is something. And I think this is one of the problems with us in Barbados. That we close our doors and say, well, that's the end of it. When it's too far behind, outside of the doors, there's something that could be done. So people give churches way of tithes. People give collection way of support. So since that is the case, then I think the clerical work within the church has a responsibility to the request of some of those people. Vice versa, as far as government agencies is concerned, government agencies should not be looking at files of people from 1977 at this time, and from 1976 at this time. Government agencies should be looking at 2018, 2017, 2019. But we've got a situation where there are people over there who have had in applications for a very long, long time. And you can't beat the system because it's done in such a way that an authorized situation of allocation is done.
Well, that's another topic and an interesting one, too. When people who are in need, when they go and somebody else, let's take housing, for example. I've heard so many people said, I've been waiting 20 years for a house, 15 years for a government unit. And then they come and see somebody who just younger than them, and probably in the 20s or whatever, getting a government unit. Clearly, they did not apply for 20-something years. And there's a lot wrong with the system that needs to be tweaked. And I think that more means tests needs to be done in order for people that those who need should get priority. And we need to get away from the I know somebody in their type of way and get pushed to the top of the list where somebody else's need, which is more than yours, maybe then push back as a result. And that is a major problem and needs some discussion, and it needs to change because it actually happens. But Mark, leave the last words to you because we do have some other calls.
That's unfortunate. What has happened to this country is that too much overbeds go on overbeds. And that is one of the reasons that we are faced with a situation of a big demand in housing and, let's say, jobs. Because I believe that certain independent organizations should have the right to decision-making. But when you come to the point of government agencies having the right to make allocations, and a group of people sit down along a paper and says, okay, not Curtis people, not Cynthia, what about Phyllis? So eventually Phyllis, you see, names, they deal with names and deal with positions as far as names. And we will continue at this rate because as far as we're concerned, there should be independent bodies looking at these things, and people should have a right to renew. Nobody have a right to put in an application 7 years ago and then come and ask if it's alive. You should be able to renew every year. You should, with this computerization, it means that you should be able to renew every year. No. But your date to start would be there. In closing, I think that the churches are extremely important, and the churches are extremely important because they're seen as beggars. And they beg for the position.
Well, people are here saying that the churches are hurting too because they were closed. Everything is a domino effect. I mean, with the whole COVID, people were out of work. Churches had to close their doors. So it's been difficult for everybody. But I'm just sort of reading to you what some messages that are coming through here, some thoughts from some other individuals. But I want to thank you, Mark, for your contribution. Well, radio works. I didn't ask for school clothes, but we got some just now. Someone just came in and said a lady from the area of St. Joseph has 20 white school shirts, brand new. So we'll hear from some people, I will believe, after the show, and we'll see how best we can get those uniforms to the individuals that are in need. And speaking of persons in need, brings me to the subject of a means test. and what we call a priority list, and why is it that the same people are falling through the cracks, and some people are getting ahead that may not necessarily need the help right away. And some of the agencies that actually come to my mind would be that of housing, welfare, the utility companies, when it comes to disconnections and reconnections. What kind of means tests do you actually do to determine if you should shut down a person's water or light, for that matter? Housing, who gets the house first? Is it the mom with 8 children, or is it the individual who has a job and a nice car and she's married? You know, how do we determine who gets what? And the other agency that comes to mind too is the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. And you may think that that's a little strange, because if you're sick, then you're sick. It doesn't matter. It's who gets the help first is based on the case. But you have to also look at the outpatient services and that of dialysis, and people who need dialysis and they're not enough machines, for example. Then how do you determine who gets the dialysis? And should it be a means test for those who can't afford dialysis to get it done and paid for by their insurance, leaving the machines at the QEH for those who cannot afford? So these are the things that I want to put out there, and it all boils down to a means test, not because somebody's your nephew and somebody's your friend. Is it that we're doing that a little too often and pushing back all of the people that really desperately need this help, and others are getting through because of who they know? So that's something out there that we can discuss later today. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Missy. A couple of things here. I want to say that listening to the BBC, I realize now that there's another wave of this virus occurring in England, and the engineers now are saying that they have to design buildings, modern buildings now, where you will get a lot of fresh air instead of using air condition, a lot of air conditioned offices, because the virus has the ability to stay the air for more than 5 minutes. But to my surprise, we bought some new buses here in a hot place like Barbados, with this air condition, which is, that is okay for the tourists. But when you look at them, and you see that they have elderly people boarding these buses, that they do enjoy the ride. There's another question that comes to mind, and that is, if this bus, anything happened to this bus, the safety of the passengers. I know they have 2 doors, and then when I asked about the windows, I was told that there's a hammer that you can knock out the windows. But if you have people and they're around 50, 60, 70 years old, who can hardly walk, there's no way at all that anything occurred on that bus, any freak accident, then those people will be able to climb through those windows. And I'm wondering, why would we need air-conditioned buses in Barbados for? That's the first thing. The second thing it has to do...
Before you move on to but you know that outside has been very, 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 very hot. I'm sure some people really welcome to have a nice ride somewhere in the comfort of AC.
Did anyone not tell you that the scientists say that this virus loves cool places, and that the engineers now are looking to plan buildings that we get a fresh air instead?
Well, I'm not saying that.
I just told you so.
Hold on,
sir, one sec. You're providing service for visitors.
Okay, just hang on one sec, please. Just because you say so, that the scientists say so, that don't mean it's so. So if somebody else can weigh in on it in terms of what it is and isn't, great. That's your opinion. You're entitled to your own opinion. You're not entitled to your own facts. Secondly, when you say it's okay for tourists, do you have any idea why some tourists actually come to Barbados? Because they want to get away from the cold? So to say...
No, only that. And Dennis Johnson could tell you this. He worked at Paradise. Some came here to get rid of the cold. Some were advised by their medical professionals.
Right, but sir, we're splitting hairs. We said some. It's okay. Different reasons. Some people want to come here for the sea. Some people want to come for the sun. Some people want to come for the rum. Some people want to come for the girls, the boys, whatever. But the point is, the part that what I'm saying is that AC buses for, I mean, you said you can understand for tourists. I was just saying to you that most tourists that coming from the colder countries, normally running from the cold. Barbadians, and I can speak for myself, I mean, it may not be good for the gas, but outside is so hot. I welcome the AC, especially when you're stuck in traffic. But I understand your point regarding if something happens with the bus, where do we exit? And maybe perhaps the general manager of the transport board could call and let us know about the safety features of the bus.
You know, excuse me, Lauren, but you know, contradict yourself. You are on the radio telling people that wear masks. It helps protect yourself and the other people, which came from the medical profession.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't tell me that the scientists might not be right.
So no. I did not say that. Just listen. When you communicate, do it in a way, and I'm guilty of it too sometimes, so I'm speaking to myself, to understand and not just to reply. Okay? Uh-huh. I said, just because you said it doesn't mean that it is accurate. It would be good to hear from the scientists. If you're saying that this is new information and other people are saying these different things, I'm not a doctor, you're not a doctor, I'm not entitled to my own facts. Neither are you.
A doctor is not always right. If a doctor was always right, will you not say...
Sir, nobody is always right. Whether it's a doctor or not, but we take our chances to go to the doctor. You know why? Because Google don't tell us everything that we may need to know.
I'm talking about Google now. You take your chances to go to the doctor to get medication, which does not really... All it does is ease the pain. But you know what it said about medication? Let me read this to you by Dr. Phillips Canterbury. He said that medication only prolongs the agony of death, that you will never recover like where you were about 15 years ago. And all it does, it prolongs life, but you have to keep on living medication. So if the doctors were that good, as you're telling me, when you take the medication, you should get better, but medication don't get you better.
Can I give you a news flash?
Uh-huh.
We, from the time we are born, the clock is ticking. Everybody has to die. The only reason we have doctors is exactly why you said. Number one, the medication will take the pain. It would heal the actual, maybe possible disease. All it does is delay what is going to happen to you eventually. Everybody buys time. So at the end of the day, so when you're saying that, all they do is to take away the pain, that's their job. Their job is to make you comfortable in the event that they can't do anything else for you. And if they can do something, they do it. And you know what? You get better until the next thing happens.
You get better. But you just get better.
I'm saying, generally speaking, sir, I'm not going to argue with you because it's very hard to debate.
You know who's got you better? The Almighty. When he gets you better, you don't have to go to a physician. But I know we all know that the time is taking from the time you're born. We all are aware of that, but my question to you, Ms. Hayes, is, are you prepared for death? That is the question that you have to ask yourself, too. But are you prepared for death?
Are you?
I don't know.
Well, there you go. When you answer it, then you get back to me and I can answer you. All right. Thank you so much. Down to brass tacks, you're on the air.
Morning, Jayan.
Good morning. It's 10:55 this morning. I'm good.
That's right. You know, I've listened to all of these contributions this morning. And there's one thing that yourself and all of these individuals are forgetting. And that is, and I'm going to say this in the right way, we as black people coming out of slavery got nothing. We were always begging. We were always in a position of not being able to accumulate wealth. We were always in a position to get the very worst in health care. We were the last to be given any proper housing. And all that we can speak about. That is what history should teach us as black people. I have to say it that way. Let me say something else too. We talk about economies of scale. Note again, economies of scale. We got individual people that controls the gross domestic spend as well as the entire budget of Barbados. Individual people. Some of them have homes in Barbados, lives in Barbados. The sugar industry in Barbados had a problem one time where the unions couldn't get the government to agree to the price increase for the black people to go and work on the plantations and reap the canes. An individual person put up all the money that the union was asking for to get the sugar crop going. We here in Barbados have difficulty with history, and we seem to forget that even the churches persecuted its own members by not providing for them in the time of need. These things are not nothing that an individual like myself coming up with. These things are actually fact and documented, and is posted every day on social media. We as people in this country have a real difficulty, and this is what I really wanted to get at this morning. Someone was talking earlier about a government department and an individual that put in an application for a house that is 18 or 19 years old, the application that is, and all it know, individuals that didn't have a boy or a girl got the house over the body that put in the application for that need 18 or 19 years ago. Well, two things happened. Their financial position might have improved and they got something, or maybe they're still in that derelict situation, hoping that one day that respective government department would call them in and they will get something. Quite recently, there were some houses built over there by going to the garrison, that right turn when you come across by the gas station, when you come across Culloden Road and you head into the to the garrison, those set of buildings right there. The last administration said that those houses were not for individuals that couldn't afford them. They say the policemen and the fire people that work in government could get them.